This is the second to last week in our Beyond Sunday series, and then we'll start to be thinking about Lent. I can't believe that it is right around the corner. Would you follow along with me as we embrace the statement of faith that helps guide us through this series? We believe that God is the creator and sustainer of all things. God calls us to seek balance between work and rest. We are called to work with purpose and integrity, doing everything to honor God, knowing that labor and rest are both part of God's design. We believe that Jesus came to offer us abundant life. We are called to enjoy life while we love and serve our neighbors, knowing that Jesus himself celebrated life's simple joys and invited us to do the same. We believe the Holy Spirit fills us with contentment and gratitude as we are drawn to worship in spirit and truth, both in our hearts and in our actions. As disciples of Jesus, we are invited to be in relationship with God beyond Sunday morning, as we seek to follow Jesus in every area of our daily lives. In all things, we are called to live as a reflection of the triune God, balanced in our work and rest, generous and joyful in our relationships, and content and worshipful in our hearts. Our scripture for this morning comes from Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. Jesus went through the wheat fields on the Sabbath. As the disciples made their way, they were picking heads of wheat. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are you breaking the Sabbath law?" He said to them, "Haven't you ever read what David did when he was in need? When he and those who were with him were hungry? During the time when Abiathar was high priest, David went into God's house and ate the bread of presence, which only the priests were allowed to eat. He also gave the bread to those who were with him." Then he said, "The Sabbath was created for humans. Humans weren't created for the Sabbath. This is why the human one is Lord even over the Sabbath." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week, we talked about how fun is required in our relationships and in our lives as discipleship, as disciples. I discussed how rules are an important component to making a game fun. The one rule Jesus gives us as disciples, as his friends, is to love one another. But the Pharisees are worried about a lot more rules. Their entire religious identity is wrapped up in their faithfulness to the law. What is Sabbath? What is lawful? What is faithfulness? Think for a moment about your weekly routine. What do you look forward to each day? What do you look forward to each week? What is Sabbath? Take a moment and tell someone something that you enjoy about your day or your week, something that is restful and life-giving. Something you enjoy. Genesis chapter 2 defines Sabbath for us. Hear these words from the Message translation. "Heaven and earth were finished, down to the last detail. By the seventh day, God had finished his work, and on the seventh day, God rested from all God's work. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Because on that day, God rested from God's work, all the creating God had done." This is the story of how it all started, of heaven and earth and how they were created. In the creation story, God had formed Adam and Eve just the day before. God had given them instructions about the good and abundant life they would have. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the ground. God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth and every tree that is upon the face of the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast on the earth and to every bird of the air and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." God gave everything over to Adam and Eve. God trusted them with all of God's good creation. And on their first full day of being, after telling them all the work that would ultimately need to be done, the first thing God did was invite them to rest. God invited them to be in God's presence. And so it was on the first Sabbath. God rested with Adam and Eve and all of creation. I came across this remarkable observance while reading Wholehearted Faith by Rachel Held Evans, which was posthumously published after her untimely death a few years ago. She points out her discovery in another author's writing that Adam and Eve didn't have to do anything to be given the gift of grace that is Sabbath. Rest is not a reward, it's a requirement. Jesus tells us that the Sabbath was made for humans, not humans for the Sabbath. Christian Smith says that God didn't make the Sabbath for us to maintain it. God made the Sabbath to maintain us. The Sabbath is a gift, an invitation, a commandment of love. The Sabbath becomes law in Exodus 20, verse 8, the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall neither do any work, nor you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, or any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Rachel wrote that the last part of the commandment is noteworthy. It names and acknowledges the social hierarchies of the time, flawed as they were. There were enslaved people. There were marginalized ones who somehow don't belong. And the call to rest is so sweeping that it even includes the cows and the donkeys, the sheep and the goats. Sabbath is for everyone and everything. So this is why the Pharisees are upset with Jesus and his followers. I try not to give the Pharisees too much of a hard time. After all, they're just trying to be faithful. By this point, at the end of Mark chapter 2, the beginning of Mark's gospel, this is the fourth time that the Pharisees have witnessed Jesus' disregard for their devout practices. The Pharisees are questioning how Jesus could possibly have the authority to forgive sins, to heal. They question Jesus while he was eating with tax collectors and sinners, and he responds, "Is it not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick? I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Then, when most people are fasting, Jesus and his disciples aren't. The Pharisees take issue with that too. I wonder what rules we take as seriously as the Pharisees do the Sabbath. What in our faith or in our culture is this sacred? Jesus was breaking the rules, and yet Matthew's gospel records Jesus saying, "I come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law." And by that, he means to complete it. In Jesus' life, we see the essence of God's law, which was given to God's chosen yet fallen people. The law was given to draw them back to God, but it wasn't given to save them. Salvation comes through Jesus, through abundant life, through the knowledge and acceptance that there is no possible way that God could ever love you more than you are already loved right now. You cannot earn it. You are already loved to max capacity, more than you could ever fathom. You are loved because you are made in the image of God. You are loved because you exist to be loved. As I was reading last week about rules and what the benefits to having rules in a game are, one thing that did not apply was fairness. Rules in a game create a fair playing field, but God's love isn't fair. God's love is radical and abundant and merciful. God's rules are here to draw us closer to God, not to punish us or make our lives boring or oppressive. Throughout his ministry, Jesus was consistently sneaking away to spend time with God, to rest, and to enter into Sabbath. Rest requires compartmentalization. We have to know that we can stop, that while we are resting, God will take care of what needs taking care of. Last week, Fresh Food Wednesday was closed. We stopped. We rested. Did people still need food? Yes. But we need to rest every so often so that we can continue to do this work. There is enough food to go around. There are other partners who pick up the slack when we take a break. And when they take a break, we pick up the slack. When Jesus allowed his hungry, hardworking disciples to pick some grain, he was allowing them to acquire sustenance to renew their lives. They were on a mission to declare God's kingdom to all who would hear it. God's kingdom includes rest. That day, rest required a snack of grain freshly picked from the field. Rest is required. We cannot pour from an empty cup. We shouldn't pour at all, actually. What we give to others should come from the overflow. For me, a day of rest begins by waking up without an alarm. I make my way to the couch and snuggle with my dogs while enjoying some TV in the morning, and then maybe go make myself a full and yummy breakfast with music playing while I dance in the kitchen, making eggs and bacon and potatoes and maybe pancakes. I cook on the Sabbath because most days of the week I'm grabbing a protein bar on my way out of the house. Sabbath for me might look different from week to week. In warmer weather, I enjoy kayaking. Sometimes I spend time coloring. About once a month, I spend a day with my sister and her kids. Sometimes I go to the zoo with my best friend and her little boys. Sometimes we leave the boys and have them stay with their dad while we go get pedicures. Sabbath for us Christians isn't about ritualistically following the rules about work or cooking, but it should be about a rhythm of life that involves regular rest and renewal. Our society makes it seem like working hard is all life is about, hustling from one thing to another, when really we are created to just be. When I'm busy for 7 to 9 days straight, my body lets me know it. If I don't get enough sleep, if I don't eat a good diet, I end up sick. Hello, here we are today. How ironic that the week before I preach on rest, I get sick and my body makes me take a time out. If I can't find time to rest my body will do it for me. That is the consequence of not relying on God for rest. This is a confession. This is a do not do what I do. That is the consequence of thinking that we have to do it all, that we can do it all. What we remember when we rest is that the world doesn't turn because of what we do. The world doesn't stop turning because we take a day off. God is the creator and we are the created. So what are the rhythms and the routines of your week? Where are the times and the spaces that you look forward to being with God, to finding rest and renewal in life? In The Sabbath, a book by Abraham Heschel, the day of rest is described as freedom, peace, tranquility, and happiness. He says the seventh day isn't a date, it's an atmosphere. Jewish people consecrate the seventh day from sundown on Friday until sundown on Saturday. We practice our Christian worship on Sunday because it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead, the day he defeated death. The irony of the Pharisees' outrage was that they wanted Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath, not to restore life on the Sabbath. But on that same day, they began to plot his death. Faithfulness in keeping the Sabbath is any routine time that we enter into rest, that we seek renewal, that we seek to give life and not take it. Any time that we trust that God is providing. The instructions of God are not given on a whim. God does not simply make up a set of rules to see if people will follow them. This is the loving guidance of a caring and personal God. This is the loving parent sharing with beloved children the wisdom they need to live a full and joyful life. Not because God wants us to follow the rules, but only because God wants to love us, to spend time with us. God wants us to be happy and whole and rested. Because when we all we do is work, we get burnt out, we get tired, we end up like the Thessalonians who were tired of doing good. They were just going to sit and wait for Jesus to come. Would have been a long wait, wouldn't it? Let us rest so that we can be empowered to do the work of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are the beginning and the end. You are the one who creates us, who calls us good, who shows us the way to abundant life. And we are always trying to do it without you. God, may we be restless until we are able to rest in you. God, help us to lay down our need to always be in control. Help us to surrender to your timing and your presence. God, we lift up those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are grieving, those who need your peace and your presence. And we ask you to be a part of our time, that you are the creator of time, and you call us to love your people. And so we pray together the prayer that leads us as our church here at the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray.